Anyway, praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. We're in Psalm 55 here, and this is our last study. We've been kind of doing something on the home, making sure that the home is being established around the Word of God. And I would assume that most people here have a time with the Lord, not only in your personal life, but I hope you do. It's easy to get away from family devotions. And in Psalm 55, I want you to look with me at verse number 16, at what David says here. He says, "As for me," he says, "I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Verse 17, "Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray, and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." David made a special commitment. As you look right here at the beginning of this verse, in verse 16, he made a statement, "As for me." You know, David couldn't make this decision of this level of commitment to the Lord for anybody else. And none of us can make this decision on how we're going to operate as a home with the Lord's altar or a family altar. We can't make that decision for each other. We have to come to that conclusion, "As for me," that's what Joshua did, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So there are decisions that we cannot force on anybody, but we can see them in Scripture that they're probably a good mindset to take on, that we're going to make some commitments to the Lord when it comes to this time of family altar or prayer time. But I want you to notice, if you would, at the special order that God gives in verse 17, where David is being inspired to write, he says, "In evening and morning and at noon." Now, you and I, being Westerners, have different mindsets. I grew up thinking that Monday was the first day of the week. That's how I always grew up. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home, so I wasn't taught about Sunday. Sunday was day number 7, right? It was the last of the weekend, and then you have Monday was the start of a new week. But Sunday is actually the first day of the week. And we meet on the first day of the week. Monday, tomorrow, will be the second day. And that's why we give God the first part of everything. We give Him this first day for the week here. But I also used to think not only that Monday was the first day of the week, but I used to think that morning is when everything began. Tomorrow morning is that beginning. And yet we see here in order that David is declaring evening is first, then morning, and then noon. Now, it might not seem like it's an important thing, but it's interesting that God would have it inspired by David to write and then preserve for us to still have today, because God is a God of order. And the Jews, you remember, the Jews worshipped the Sabbath was a Saturday. You know when they started getting ready for the Sabbath? It wasn't at 9 in the morning on Saturday. It was at 6 p.m. on Friday. Now, there's an incredible lesson for us to learn there on how we can make our Sunday services much more effective by preparing ourselves the night before. And in reality, that's the beginning of the day as far as God is concerned. God has a great principle for us, I think, that the day should begin in the evening. And in Genesis chapter 1, in Genesis 1 and verse 5, listen to what it says. "And the evening and the morning were the first day." So you can go all the way back to creation. And by the way, David is speaking this truth here based upon his scriptural knowledge of God's purpose. And he went all the way back and says, God declares, it's coming from God, that my evening should begin my day, not my mornings. And so here we see that it's an interesting thing, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So based on this principle here in Scripture, the Jews started their days in the evening at 6 o'clock. The Jews had a 12-hour day. It went from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And instead of it ending here, it was beginning here in preparation for the day to follow. And so it's very important that God would put that down. It's interesting when you read in the gospel account of John, in John chapter 1, verse 35 through 39, we read of two disciples who are walking. This is after Christ has been crucified, after he's been resurrected. He's been seen of people already, some of the disciples. And there's two disciples that are walking in John chapter 1 who meet the Lord, and it says that it was the 10th hour. The 10th hour would be 4 p.m. because if it's starts at 6 a.m. and you go up to noon, that's 6 hours. Then add 4 more hours to that, that would be the 10th hour. So it's interesting that the Lord would even include that time frame of when He met them. But it lets it know that He met them at the 10th hour at 4 p.m. and He spent the evening with them. And they opened up the Scriptures to them during that time. And so we see that God emphasizes that. They told Him, don't carry on. He goes, let's go ahead and stay here and have a meal. They invited Him to stay, and He blessed the food, and they realized it was the Lord, and then He disappeared out of their sight. Several times, if you ever do a study on the life of Jesus Christ Himself, the Scriptures teach us that Christ spent much time in the evenings, even into the nighttime, praying, preparing for the ministry of the following day that would come. And so we see that even Jesus established what He actually commanded back in Genesis, because He's God incarnate, and that was His command originally, that that should how it should be scheduled. So our daily schedules, I think, will help us as we conform to God's order. And I think that if we want to have victory in every area, I think we must understand that the evening begins our day, and it will actually enhance the following hours that will come. You'll have a better night's sleep, perhaps, by it, but it will affect how you are prepared for the morning when it arises, when we get into that day. David said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. Now, if any of you are here of any length of age, there was a soda that's been out on the market for a long time. Matter of fact, I believe it's manufactured here in Texas. It's called Dr. Pepper. How many of you are familiar with Dr. Pepper? Dr. Pepper used to have the old glass bottles that had three different time frames on it. They had a 10, 2, and 4. Dr. Pepper's mindset was, you should drink this at 10 o'clock in the morning, you should drink this at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you should have another one at 4, three times a day. Amen. Now that would have cost you back then, in my day, 15 cents, because they were a nickel a bottle back then when they started out. But they wanted you to get addicted to that stuff, all right? Well, I wonder if the Lord wants us to kind of get addicted to spending time with Him. Amen. The Bible says that when it described Ananias and Sapphira, not them, Aquila and Priscilla, there's our example. It says that they addicted themselves to the saints. They loved to serve. And there's some areas of it I think that Christians should become addicted to. And if you are having a morning devotion, that's a great thing. If you're even having a time in the afternoon that you stop for just a short time to spend with the Lord, that's a great thing. But He says, how about an evening? How about evening and morning and at noon? And I'll tell you what, we spend a lot of time, and I'm guilty of this, folks, we spend a lot of time on social media. I mean, I'm talking about hours a day. Am I right? If you say, well, I don't know if I spend that much time. Your phone is a smartphone. It's recording how much time you're spending, and you can actually go in there and find out how much you've spent. So it'll tell you. And God forgive me if I spend more time on social media than I do with my Lord. And then we wonder why our days aren't going that well. So God just, anything that God is encouraging us to do, it is for our benefit. And so here we see this area of this time frame here. There should be a time in the evening when we, as a family, not just as an individual, but as a family, can meet the Lord and just listen, abide with Him. Abide with Him. We were reading in our devotion last night. We're just going through evenings and mornings with Spurgeon at this point in time. But it was on Mary and Martha. And what was Mary doing? She was abiding with Jesus at His feet, which was the good thing, the Bible says, that I'm not going to take from her. And Martha was the one that was busy serving. Spurgeon did such a wonderful job. He never criticized or condemned her for serving. We got to be busy. We can't do enough for our Lord. But what the Lord did do is He said that she was cumbered about much serving. She had allowed the service to distract from her thinking the Lord Himself that she was trying to serve. And so we just see that there's a time for service, but if you have a chance to sit down at the feet of Jesus, you ought to take advantage of it. and it should begin perhaps even in our evenings, how that might enhance our days to follow. And I think this is one of those things, as David said here, as for me. That phrase, as for me, means that we must deliberately set aside a time if we're going to do this. And by the way, if this is something new to you, wow, I never thought about doing this. And you say, well, as for me, I want to start doing this. The devil will try to get you to forget. And sometimes you'll miss a night. We've done that. We've gotten busy with our schedule and then, wow, it's too late to do it now. But that doesn't mean we quit. We just said, Lord, I missed that one. Help me to get on a pattern here where this is a priority in my life. So I'm going to briefly give you a couple of elements here. This is just suggestions, if you would, on evenings with God. We'll just entitle it Evenings with God. I just had to echo back that other cough back there. Me and Carl may go together on this here before it's all over, all right? But evenings with God can enhance what I would call, number one, evening faith. F-A-I-T-H. Evening faith. In evenings with God, if you establish this, you will find faith. Faith is simply this. According to Hebrews 12:2, faith is looking unto Jesus. Taking time to look unto Jesus. Which the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Of our faith. Faith is not only a belief system that we believe that He died for our sins, that we believe that He's our Savior, but faith is also defined as a reliance upon. So we're talking about having a reliance upon Christ. And as we set aside this time in the evening, our evenings with God, we are relying upon Christ to help us to grow in our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's interesting that Hebrews 12 says that He's the author and the finisher. He's the one that started this book. When I got saved in June of 1979, He began to pen my life of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. So I was saved there, but then it says that the just shall what? Live by faith. And so now He's writing my story. He's a part of my life now. I'm in Christ, and there's coming a day when He will finish my faith, and I will depart this world. No longer faith will be put away, because I will have sight. I will see Him as He is. So in the evenings, this will create an evening of faith. We will have rest for our souls by simply relying and trusting this hour or this 15 minutes, however long it is. We will have rest to our soul by simply coming to Christ and spending time abiding with Him. Folks, understand that the Lord cares about us. He understands the pressures, the anxiety, the troubles of this life. He says that He told us in this world you will have tribulation. You're going to have hardships. You're going to have calamities. You're going to have things that come up that you would not have put in your life. But they're coming. In this world you shall have. But be of good cheer. He says, I've overcome this world. And the more time we spend with Him, when these things come, the more we can be at rest in spite of those things. You see, the disciples, when they were set sail in their little ship, having Jesus with you, abiding with Jesus, doesn't do away with the storms of life. Christ doesn't do away with the storms, but it sure makes it easier when we know that He's with us in them. And I don't want to just have to cry out to Him when I need Him. I want to know that I'm walking with Him, that I'm abiding with Him. And no wonder He tells us in Matthew chapter 11, 28 and 29, I'm drawing the blank how it starts, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That means you're burdened down. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, the inner man. The inner man needs rest. That means we have noisy souls. We took our church at Fair Park years ago through a DVD program for 26 weeks that was put out by a guy named Jim Berg. Jim Berg was a professor at Bob Jones University. And he talks about Matthew 11, having rest in our souls. And says most Christians have noisy souls. We have no inner rest. And we took, I thought, man, do I want to take a church through 26 weeks of this on a Sunday night? Our Sunday night services were full because so many people needed what he was teaching on. It was a phenomenal teaching. Matter of fact, before we left to come over here, they were already asking, hey, it's been a while, can we go through this again? Because it's so needed. It's a great teaching. But evenings with God, we will find faith at reliance upon Him, just spending time with Him, knowing that He cares. Casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Also during the evenings with God, here's another thing, we will find gratitude. Gratitude. When we commune with the Lord and abide in Him, you don't want to grumble and gripe. How can you grumble and gripe with Jesus there? Amen? I mean, He brings a sweetness that no other person can bring. We should express gratitude, and I think when we abide with Him, we will. It will come automatically. We will express gratitude to God for His blessings. It's interesting, when we read in the New Testament, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 18, it says, well, I want you to turn over there and look at that with me real quick. Let's just quickly look. 1 Thessalonians 5, I guess I could quote it, but sometimes it's good for us not just to hear, but to see it. Look at verse number 18. In everything, give thanks. That's God speaking through Paul, telling the church at Thessalonica, telling the church at Regency, folks, be thankful in everything. Well, Lord, I'm going through this situation now. He says, give thanks. Maybe you're not thankful for the situation, but you can be thankful for the one who's walking with you through the situation. Now watch it. Watch what happens, because I want to finish this verse 18. In everything give thanks. Look what it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and you and you and you and me and you. Well, what? I wonder what God's will is for my life. Well, right there it says this is the will of God. Be grateful. Be grateful. And what better time to be sitting at home and having a time, whether you're a single person by yourself, just offering thanksgiving and praise. Lord, I just want to thank you for the gift of God, which is I have eternal life. And my family and friends who have gone on before me, they had eternal life. And I'm just so grateful, and I'm waiting for that day when we lay aside these. Paul describes it as we fold up our tabernacles. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. The word mortal means liable to die. You and I are mortals. We're mortal beings. We're liable to die. And he says that we're going to take this immortality and we're going to lay this mortality and lay it aside and we're going to put on immortality. Immortality means deathlessness, never to die. And so, though I might be by myself, and I have others that are with the Lord, I can rejoice and thank Him that there's coming a day when we will all put on deathlessness, never, ever, ever have to say goodbye again. Be grateful. Have gratitude. If you're a family, take time to say why you're grateful for. Why are you grateful for your wife? I was thanking the Lord the other day, and I just said, Lord, I just want to thank you. Not only for the gift of God, I want to thank you, Lord. And I told her later that I get to spend life with you. I have a life sentence with her. She has a life sentence with me. That's probably more accurate. But I am glad I get to spend it with her. We are, the Bible says in Peter, we're joint heirs together. That's a blessing, folks. And we take the common, those blessings, and we put them into the common mindset, and we don't ever think of it. And when we have our evenings where we slow down and abide with Him, our evenings with God, gratitude should come into the picture for who we have around us. Another one is evening, which maybe you would think would be the first one. I'm not putting these out in any specific order. There should be an evening of faith, an evening of gratitude, but also an evening of Bible reading. Bible reading. In the evenings with God, we will find Bible reading. Keep your Bible handy. And develop a plan of reading systematically. We currently are going through, as I made mention, evenings and mornings with Spurgeon. You may be going through the Proverbs. You say, I don't know what to study. You can take, there's 31 Proverbs. And you can take a proverb, whatever day it is, so you could be on Proverbs 26 tonight, reading Proverbs 26. And whatever day of the week is, just read that proverb, and you'll have enough Proverbs. And that Proverbs is the book of what? Wisdom. And so you could spend the month or even months continually going through it and just going through the book of wisdom and having whatever proverb it is that day. And if you do it month after month for a year, good night, you will know the book of Proverbs quite well. And you'll have the wisdom of God. You may say, well, I've done Proverbs. I'm looking for something new. How about the Psalms? You can take and go through the book of Psalms every single month. There's 151 Psalms. 150. I'm just checking to see if you guys were listening. How familiar are you with your Bibles? Mine has 151. Yours, you got to... No, it doesn't. There's 150 Psalms. The same way that Proverbs works. You can take and go with today's the 26th. You can read Psalm 26 and count, is it five? 30 chapters. So 26 would take you to 56. And you'd just take a whole month, a 30-day month, and go Psalm 26, Psalm 56, Psalm 86. Okay, you got to be good at math if you're going to do this, all right? And then, Yeah, 116, I knew that. And go on. But you take 30 days from whatever today is, and you just keep doing 30, 30, 30 until there's no more songs. So you'll read quite a few Psalms, about 5 to 6 of them. You'll read 5 Psalms each evening. Now, that may be too much for somebody to say, I'm going to stay with the Proverbs. That's good. Right now, I'm going through just 3 chapters a day with the Gospels, so that I will read through the Gospel account in 90 days. So that means every 3 months I will finish the Gospels. And this year, I read through the Bible last year. This year, I'm just going to repeat myself all through the Gospels. I want to become so familiar with them. And again, faith comes by hearing, and what? Hearing by the Word of God. So there will be Bible reading, Proverbs, Psalms, all of these things. And I handed out, I think, here when we first started, a family devotional for a 30-day devotion. I should have brought one in with me. If you need it, it'll take you through all the major Bible stories. And it's a very simple one. You just answer some simple questions. And you can do it, especially if you have family. It's like $24 for all 12 of these books that will take you for a whole year through. And when you break it down, that's $2 a month, 6.6 cents a day. And I think that's a pretty good investment with your family. 6 cents a day. Bible reading through a devotional. If you want to know more about that devotional, I got some in there. I can give you the first month, and you can have that to start with. February's coming up, amen? Got a new month coming up. So there's evening Bible reading, gratitude and faith, and then there is also evening fellowship. Fellowship. In the evenings with God, there should be fellowship between you and the Lord. And now watch this, because this is old-fashioned, and other family members. We have so many things that are taking us away from communing with our own family members a lot of times. Sometimes we will go out for dinner, and I'm sure if any of you go out for dinner at all, you have seen it, where there will be even a young couple that are supposed to be gazing into each other's eyes in love. They're gazing onto their phones, and they don't even communicate. We've watched people, as we talk through the whole restaurant, the whole time they've never talked. They just are like this, you know, and I'm thinking, goodness, what's happening with people? And we've allowed this. This is why they call it a cell phone. You're imprisoned by the thing, you know? We really are, folks. We really are. And we have to be on guard against it. It's a good tool. It's a great tool. But it should we should be over it, not it over us. But we should be enjoying fellowship with the Lord, taking time. Hey, how did your day go? How was school today, Noah? How was work today? You guys are all retired. How did things go? And talking and communing with each other. It's interesting. The word fellowship literally means to find out what you have in common. What do we have in common? What did the Lord show you this morning when you had your devotion time? Well, Dad, He showed me as I was reading here that, and you could go on and talk and share. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I used to do a real simple thing. I made up a binder for myself, and I put a pair of glasses on it, the old round glasses, and I just put on there, it wasn't something I had come up with, I found it somewhere years ago, it was called specs. You know, these used to be called specs, put your specs on. And the S and the letters all stood for something, so I had it written down so that no matter what I'm reading in the Bible, I could look at my specs because I'd record things in it, and it was things that you were looking for, specs. And the S stood for sins to confess. Are you reading a passage where there's something about sin? Oh man, I'm guilty of that. Or maybe Lord bring, you could write down sins to confess. P was for, is there a promise to claim? E was, is there an example to follow? C was, is there a command to obey? And S, is there some service to the Lord that I can do? And so as I'm reading, there might not be all the letters that in that passage that day, but there might be a couple of them that I can write down and say, Lord, I need to follow this area of service. I'm not doing this or something is there. So there's a variety of things that you can do when you fellowship and have your time in the evenings with God. Evening fellowship, evenings with God means this. If you're going to have this time, especially this fellowship time, there are things that you and I must turn off. We must turn off the TV. We must set aside our cell phones. And we must talk to one another. It may be just a husband and a wife. Maybe you're an empty nester. We ought to seize those opportunities. We need to seize those opportunities that we can just, this evening we're having with God includes both of us, and just talk with each other. Things of prayer concerns or areas that we want to make decisions in that we can later pray in together. It should be a time of fellowship. And then also, very quickly here, I need to move on. Evenings with God also should be an evening of testimony. Again, these are all suggestions. It might not be something that you do every single evening, but it may be something that comes in this evening and next evening. If we're not careful, we will find ourselves not taking time to testify about the Lord and what He's doing in my life or our family's life. And that kind of ties back in with fellowship. They're very closely knit. Something that you want to praise God for, and then maybe you want to talk about His goodness that took place that day, at the end of that day or throughout that day, somewhere that you can testify and say, God did this. The word praise, it's interesting. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now, just out of curiosity, raise your hand if you're breathing. Everybody here is breathing. There's an area of, once again, the clear will of God. Let everything that hath breath praise Him. The word praise in this time of testimony here is 192 times recorded just in the Old Testament. Just in the Old Testament. Turn, if you would, to Psalm. We'll look at just a couple of these very quickly here. Psalm chapter 7. We don't have time to look at very many. In Psalm 7, look what he says in verse 17. He says, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name, look what it says, of the Lord Most High. You see, in these times of testimony, it will help us to come into the presence of God and see once again His greatness. And I think that the church, and I'm not talking about Fair Park only, but I think as a whole, the church, we've lost the greatness of the Most High God. The Bible says that praise is comely. It is something that is beautiful in the eyes of God when we come and praise Him. Look, if you would, at Psalm 113, if you would. Psalm 113. Another area. Again, we're talking about just a simple testimony time, and involved in that is praising the Lord. In Psalm 113, in verse number 1, it says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Now watch. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Praised. From the time that we rise up to the time that we lay our heads into the bed, we should have something to praise Him and to rejoice in Him about. That's how much there is that we can praise Him for, and that shows how worthy He is. And yet, many times, this is missing in my life, because I'm so caught up with the temporal things instead of the eternal one. And then this evenings with God can also be make your evenings also a time of prayer. I'll tell you what, you'll have a lot easier time praying once you come out of an area where you have praised. Because if you are praising the Most High God, you're going to come confidently now with your petitions, as minute as they may seem to Him and overwhelming to us. We can truly now cast our cares upon Him because He is the Most High, and we have just praised Him for that. Make the evenings a time also of prayer. Our homes should be serene places. They should be places that are calm, not battlefields that are taking place. They should be places that are peaceful. In this time of prayer, there should be the area where, even in this time of prayer, where you might listen, reach out and grab the hand of the other person in your family. Say, let's hold hands, let's touch and pray together. And it could be just you and your spouse. It could be you grabbing onto your son and say, son, hold on to my hand, let's pray. And just have a time of prayer where we come together. And by the way, you don't have to have lengthy prayers. You just have a heart for God to hear it. There's times for lengthy prayers. There's times for quick prayers. When Solomon prayed for the temple and the God to bless it, it was a quite lengthy prayer. When Peter was sinking in the water, he couldn't pray like Solomon did, a lengthy prayer. He had a short time because he was sinking quickly, right? You may be, we're going to be getting into a study on the book of Nehemiah one of these days soon. And Nehemiah stands before the king with a sad countenance. Understand something. Back in those days, if you came into the countenance, stood before the king and had a sad countenance and made him have a bummer day, he could lop your head right off. He could have it decreed, take Nehemiah out and behead him. He came in with a bad attitude or a bad mood. Man, just think of that happened to us, coming into the presence of God. But the king asked him, because he knew Nehemiah had an incredible testimony. He asked him, what was wrong? What can I do for you? There must be something wrong. And the Bible says that Nehemiah prayed to the Lord of heaven. It didn't record what it was. He just shot up what I call a prayer flare. Boom! It was a quick one. Lord, intervene here. And he began to speak. And God took that quick prayer, moved upon the king's heart, which he says the king's heart is in his hand like a river, and he granted Nehemiah the request. You see, God uses people many times to answer our prayers to the Heavenly Father. Have a time of prayer as a family in this time of evening prayer. And then lastly, maybe just what we would call evening meditation. Evening meditation. Evenings with God should include meditation. In Psalm 1, we read, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Verse 2 says, But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditation, memorization, if you would. Just thinking upon scripture passages. And by the way, I want to add to this too, playing the right kind of music. Melodious music. Music that will lift your spirit. The world's music doesn't do that. But just taking time to have good music on that will cause your heart to be lifted, to allow you to praise God. And just dwell on God's blessings of what He's doing. And dwell, spend time in these areas of meditating, pondering, speaking to yourself. That's what it means to meditate. Over and over what God is doing in these areas. So we have this evenings with God where there's an evening of faith and gratitude, Bible reading, fellowship, time of testimony, prayer, meditation. I just want us to understand that as we study the Scriptures here this morning, that we find that God places an emphasis on the evenings with Him, evenings with your family. And if it's important to God, it should be important to me. And I want you to just take a minute and just think about your evenings right now. What do you do in the evenings? And I know that ours, if I don't set aside a time, my evenings are going to be full with a bunch of other things that may not really be truly spiritually beneficial. But if your life needs to slow down a bit, become a little bit quieter, a little bit more calm, evenings with God is the way to go. You cannot miss out on that. And so our homes, we should make sure that we come back and bring back that time in the evening that we set aside when we meet with the Lord. And simply, like Mary, choose the good part, because He says that will not be taken from her. And may we enjoy times with the Lord in our evenings with God. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll be closing here. Our Father, we thank You so much for Your care. We thank You, Lord, for Your care of us to the point that You put in Scripture words of encouragement that will make our lives, our daily lives, so much better. And much of it can be accomplished by having an evening every single night with You. Slowing down, coming apart from the world before we come apart. And we ask, Father, that You would help us, dear Father, that if we are having these times, that You would just add Your blessing upon them. If we need to incorporate these things, Lord, give us special grace. May we see the vital importance and even the sacrifice for it. This is the good part that Mary chose. Help us to choose the good part. Help us to say, as David did, that we will have this time. Lord, Your whole plan and purpose is to conform us to the image of Your Son, to be like Christ. And it's times with Him, the more we spend time with Him, the more we will become like Him. Add Your blessing as we leave the Sunday school hour and enter into the morning worship. May we be preparing in our hearts, dear Father, to rejoice and praise You. May we, as it says, enter into Your gates with thanksgiving and enter Your courts with praise. And may we worship You today in spirit and in truth. For this is what You, Father, are seeking according to Your word. Thank You for each and every one that's here today. Pray for those that were unable to come with the sickness that's still going around. And pray, Lord, that You'd purge this from our bodies. Purge this from the body of believers here. That we can all be up and going 100% again by Your grace. And just thank You for Your goodness to us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.